105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the BizConnect radio show with myself, Martin White, and today our special co-host in the studio,
Lynette Wood.
Lynette, lovely to have you back in the studio again today.
Thanks ever so much for having me again, Martin, and thanks for asking me to co-host.
My pleasure, and there is a good reason for having you with us today, obviously, because we're going to be talking about all the exciting things that we've got to look forward to in the hospitality industry.
I know, you always ask me on the days that are just perfect. So we've got seven more sleeps, people, until hospitality opens.
Fantastic. So May the 17th, a week today, fabulous. So we're going to be talking about all of that. But we've also got a couple of guests on the show today. So who have we got?
Today we've got Chris Broom. He's the Business Development Manager from Discovery Park. And also Terry Botfield from Botfield Associates and the Marsh Network.
Fantastic. Lots going on with both of those guys at the moment in terms of business. So really looking forward to catching up with them. But I think what we'll do, Lynette, is we'll play a little bit of music, and when we come back, you can tell us all about what's going on in hospitality. Join us after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect,
the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on the BizConnect radio show today with myself, Martin White, and my fabulous co-host, Lynette Wood.
Hello.
Lynette, great to have you with us again today. Just give us a brief introduction to Alma Rose Hotels, who you work for, and your role in the company.
So I'm a key account manager for Alma Rose Hotels, and we have 21 hotels across the UK, and the local one in Kent is the Ashford International Hotel.
Fabulous. Know it well. So I guess it's fair to say that it's gone a bit mad in hospitality, hasn't it, over the last few weeks, since we've been allowed to meet outdoors. In a sort of a leisure venue, a pub or a restaurant. It's gone a bit crazy, hasn't it?
Do you know what it has? And I think the last time I was here co-hosting with you was the 12th of April. So it was an exciting day there, obviously, where we were opening up hospitality. And I think we've had a conversation off air about, one, about how many people are that excited to go out and have a drink or something to eat in hospitality. So whether rain come shine, you can still see people sitting outside. And the staff are excited to be back too.
Yeah, I went for a drink. I tried to go for a pub lunch a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday, and I just couldn't get in anywhere. I mean, it was just everywhere was just totally booked. Well, not necessarily booked, but just full.
Yeah.
So there were huge sort of waiting times to get a table. So that didn't work out too well. But I did go on Friday. I managed to get a drink in my local pub on Friday afternoon, which was my first
proper real pint,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, and I mean, it was gorgeous. It was a local pub to me, a Thorley Tavern near me. But the thing that struck me was just how excited and enthusiastic the staff were, you know, to welcome people back into their establishments again.
Well, you know me, Martin, I've been on furlough for on and off, you know, the full year. I've been back to work now. This is my third week back full time, and my mental health, yeah, is just top notch. I am absolutely delighted to be back to work and talking to my customers, yeah, and my customers feel exactly the same, and yeah, really feel there's some light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, but you were saying, obviously, that because lockdown has hit you guys in the hospitality industry particularly hard, that there's a real shortage of people out there now, and there's lots of, obviously, venues opening up, and we'll talk about, you know, a week today and what's going on there, but even now, you know, venues are struggling to get staff, either to, you know, to wait on tables or to cook food, or it's a real problem, isn't it?
It's a massive problem, and I think because people, obviously, hospitality has been the one that's been affected. You know, there are other businesses too, but hospitality has been affected massively in this lockdown and the pandemic, and people have moved on. Mm. You know, they've been on furlough, they've not been on furlough, they've been on flexi furlough, and they're thinking maybe hospitality is not for me. And you know, I look through LinkedIn, and LinkedIn for me obviously has a lot of people that are from hospitality backgrounds, and the amount of jobs on there is just unreal.
So we need to be kind of sympathetic to that, I guess, as well, don't we, when we're out and about. And you know, we need to realise that actually, you know, they may be short of staff, and things may take a little bit longer.
I think either they're short of staff, or I think that those staff haven't been working, you know, for the last year, so it's sort of new again for them. Or just potentially because they might not have been on furlough, maybe they're brand new staff, they've never done that before. So as I've said before, you know, let's be kind to these people. Go out and have a great time, but remember, obviously, we're all starting from scratch again. I know at Alma Rose, we've got our teams back in this week, ready for training, ready to make sure uniforms are, ready to make sure everybody's okay in terms of mentally as well, ready to start next week.
Perfect. Yeah, good. So tell us about next week. What is actually going on the 17th of May? What's changing again? Because we're on this sort of roadmap at the moment, aren't we?
So the 17th of May, you will no longer have to freeze to have that pint, Martin. You can have it indoors. Indoor hospitality is coming on the 17th of May. Along with social contact, you can have 30 people outdoors. So you can go to the pub with a few more people if you wanted to. Indoor events are open. So either maximum of 1,000 people or 50% capacity of that said room.
Wow. Gosh, so that means your, as a hotel group, all your events, all your conferences, everything is back on and people can kind of book again.
Absolutely. People can book again. So you can have the 50% capacity. So where some of our rooms are sort of 300, you can still have a nice, you know, evening event in there or a daytime conference for 150 people.
Yeah.
Four people to a table rather than what we might have had, eight people to a table previously. And at Alma Rose, we're having some great cancellation terms as well.
Right.
So if you book an event that starts obviously up to £5,000, you get to 3 days to cancel that event just in case in terms of COVID. So if anything changes, and up to £20,000, you get 8 days to cancel.
Yeah.
That's any new bookings up to now until the 31st of March 2022, as long as you book them before the 31st of August 2021.
Wow, fantastic. And I guess that's really important, isn't it? That peace of mind for businesses, because last year it was a sort of continually moving feast, wasn't it? I mean, you guys came out of lockdown very late, and then obviously just before Christmas we kind of had another lockdown scenario. So that peace of mind for businesses that are thinking about spending money.
And I think people are still nervous, you know, nervous about signing those contracts. They're thinking, yes, we want to get our team together. You know, we want to meet, we want to have an event maybe this autumn, you know, or obviously Q1 next year. But they're just a bit like, well, what's going to happen if things change again? So I think, you know, most businesses now are offering flexible cancellation terms, as with holidays we talked about.
And what if nobody wants to come and I have to cancel because I just can't get bums on seats, I guess?
I think it's there's been huge talk about hybrid events, and I do think hybrid events will continue. But the people I've spoken to just want to be back together again as a team, which I think is brilliant.
So in terms of all the hard work that you did last year, I guess all of that still applies in terms of, you know, keeping people COVID safe, you know, within your venues. So tell us a little bit about that. I mean, I guess you'll just be going back to that model that's already kind of in place from last year.
Absolutely. So the temperature checks, you know, hand sanitizers, you know, track and trace. You know, if you're looking at meetings, there's a safe room layout and traffic flow within those meeting system, you know, meeting rooms. So it's, you know, everything that we spent last year on all of those monies, all of those signage, etc., which all hospitality businesses did, will still come into play this year.
Yeah. And you can stay overnight, I guess, now as well, you know, from Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. So all of our hotels will be open. They've been open anyway, majority of them, for key workers, for those travelling. But obviously now you can go away and stay as a couple.
Fantastic. Yeah, good, brilliant. Well, I know we've got summer just around the corner, so I guess you guys have got an eye on that as well in terms of summer bookings. Have you got any feel for whether or not the staycation is going to be the kind of the thing that people opt for this year?
I mean, people opted it for it last year. We're very lucky in our hotels that we have some gorgeous venues for staycations, and we have the golf resorts, as you well know. But I think staycations are definitely key this year, especially after the announcement on Friday. I mean, 12 countries added to the list, none that I really want to go to.
No.
So hopefully...
You don't fancy a summer holiday in Iceland then?
No, not really. But I would fancy a summer holiday in Australia, just that they're not allowing me in.
No, it kind of doesn't really work that, like that, does it? No. No, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? I mean, what we need, obviously, is the summer that we had last year, I think, to make that staycation a memorable experience for the right reasons, don't we? Because it's fair to say that spring's been a bit sort of a long time coming, hasn't it, this year?
A bit, isn't it?
Yeah. Which makes that pint outdoors all the more sort of difficult, shall we say. Good, yeah. Fabulous. Well, I think what we'll do, Lynette, is we're going to play a little bit more music. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the exciting events that are actually happening in the next sort of few days and also in the next couple of weeks. There's quite a lot going on in the business community at the moment. So bear with us, everybody, and we will be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks so much for joining the BizConnect radio show today. I've got the wonderful Lynette Wood with me from the Almarose Hotels Group. Lynette, super to have you with us.
Thanks for having me again, Martin.
Well, before the break, we were just talking a little bit about the staycation and the fact that there will be lots and lots of people that are looking to do that this year. Just give a shout out for the Almarose Hotels Group, if you don't mind, in terms of, you know, where your hotels are situated. Just give us a rough idea and how people can have a look on your website and possibly book something up.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as we said, we've got 21 hotels in areas of Hampshire, Yorkshire, Bristol, Suffolk, Cambridge, Oxford. So not just Kent. So if you don't want to go a bit further away than Kent this summer, you can do.
Scotland?
Yeah, we've got one in Scotland, yeah, Westerwood, which is lovely. So it's in between Edinburgh and Glasgow, that
Fantastic.
One.
Fantastic. And you have, and as you said, some of those venues have also got golf courses attached to them. So pack your golf clubs if you're into that as well.
And they've got beautiful spas as well.
Fabulous.
So something for the men, something for the women, something, or vice versa.
Something for everybody. Yeah. Good. Yeah, good. So that's Almarose Hotels Group. And we've also got some events happening this week, haven't we, and also over the next couple of weeks that we want to tell people about today. So tell us what's going on a kind of business event level. I think we've got on Friday we've actually got an introduction to inventory optimization with the brilliant Bruce Kidd at Oasis. So if you are a hospitality industry business, for example, and you've been grappling with, you know, stock and cash flow and optimizing all of that, then Bruce is running an event this Friday that you might be interested in. It's from 9:20 in the morning for some open networking. It's also with EasyStock, and they're going to be talking about EasyStock as a software platform to help you optimize all of your kind of stock ordering and everything else. So the booking details for that are on the supplymobusiness.co.uk website on the community page. Lynette, what have you got?
Well, I've got one that is perfect what we're talking about now. So it's Reopen and Trade Safely webinar. It's on the 11th of May, which is tomorrow, from 1 till 2. So if you're a hospitality business that's looking to reopen on the 17th of May, this is perfect for you. So you can understand everything that you need in terms of to open a COVID secure guidance your venue.
Fantastic.
So again, go to the Supply My Business website and obviously have a look at that.
Very timely, and I think that's being run in conjunction with Kent Trading Standards, Visit Kent. I think there's a whole load of organisations that have got together to run that. So if you're in any doubt in terms of what you need to do to be compliant and, you know, from a regulatory point of view, do book yourselves onto that free event tomorrow. May the 20th, we've got a future-proof your business with flexible working webinar, and this is really topical as well at the moment. There's an awful lot of businesses out there that won't be going back into the office full time. I know you work remotely as well, don't you?
I do, yeah. I was excited to get back to work, but I just walked into my dining room.
Fabulous. So you didn't have far to go.
No.
But I think that's going to be the new reality for an awful lot of businesses. I mean, I was talking to a good friend of mine at the weekend, and, you know, he spends a lot of his time travelling around the world, going to various different offices, and he was saying that they're not planning on travelling at all this year.
I saw on LinkedIn the top five businesses, including KPMG, are all looking to go hybrid business in terms of obviously half at home and half in the office.
Exactly. So, but obviously that brings with it a number of problems, not least from the point of view of making sure that your employees are actually safe when they're working at home. And you may think that's a bit of a nonsense, but actually it's not. You know, there's all sorts of considerations there. So you need to get it right. Businesses need to get it right. There's an event that the FSB have put on, and it's the 20th of May. It's 11 o'clock in the morning, and it will cover things like, you know, what does hybrid working really mean? Creating an outcomes-driven culture remotely. So that's the other key thing, I think, with all of this. It's, you know, how do you keep your team kind of motivated? How do you keep all of those kind of values within your organisation actually sort of, you know, top of mind and people kind of following all of that when they're actually, you know, not necessarily in the office? So this will be a really good one to attend. Again, all the booking details are on the community page of Supply My Business. Lynette, have we got anything else?
We've just got one here. So apparently this one's on your birthday, Martin.
Oh.
It's wills and tax planning, a virtual Q&A with Broch's solicitors. And this looks perfect, actually, reading the information. So you get to actually submit your question beforehand, and they'll answer those questions for you over a virtual Q&A. That's on the 18th of May till 7 till 8pm in the evening.
Brilliant. So our good friend Brasher's solicitors are running that. That'll be Alex Gordon. So fantastic. Yep. And there is one more I want to talk about, and that is funding for your business. That's another free webinar that's coming up. And this is with the brilliant Joanne Bell at Bell's Accountants, who was on the show not that long ago, actually. She was a guest with Adrian Dante at Opus Restructuring. So obviously a lot of the business support funding schemes have either come to an end or will be coming to an end this year, and it's important that businesses know, you know, where they can turn to for future funding needs, you know, whether it be for growth or for cash flow management purposes. So Joanne has got together with a couple of her friends, and they're going to be running a free webinar on the 25th of May. That's 11 till 12:30, talking about what your options are there, what loans and grants will continue to be available to obviously help you fund your kind of working capital needs and investment needs within your business. So look out for that one. That's on the 25th of May, 11 till 12:30. And again, all the booking details are on the supplymobusiness.co.uk website on the community page. Lynette, I think that kind of wraps up all the business news for now. I think what we'll do is we'll play a little bit more music, and then when we come back, we'll get our first guest on, Chris Broom from Discovery Park.
Fabulous.
Join us after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm delighted to say that we've now got our first guest on the line, and that is Chris Broom from Discovery Park. Chris, welcome to the show.
Martin.
Great to have you with us today, Chris. Just for the benefit of everybody listening today, just tell us a little bit about Discovery Park and your role down at DP.
Certainly. So I'm Chris Broom, Head of Business Development at Discovery Park. We're a multi-tenanted science and innovation campus, currently around 160 companies on site and around 3,500 employees on about 200 acres and 1.5 million square foot of space.
Wow. So it's fair to say, I think, Chris, at the moment, there's an awful lot going on at Discovery Park. As you highlighted, it's a multifaceted business. Tell us a little bit about what you guys kind of offer there in terms of, you know, manufacturing facilities, for example, conferencing and events, as well as, you know, more traditional kind of office space.
Sure. So, as I said, we've got 1.5 million square foot of laboratory space. So that's chemistry, biology labs. We've got serviced offices, we've got conference and event facilities, but we've also got manufacturing space as well. So we've got a whole variety of different spaces for different companies on site, and as I said, 160 companies currently. Science and technology is our main focus, but we also have serviced office space as well, ranging from sort of one-person offices the way up to a couple of hundred people.
Yeah, fantastic. And I guess under COVID, you know, you guys have really been in the spotlight, haven't you, as a potential sort of you know, relocation venue for a lot of businesses in the kind of life sciences sector, because I mean, you still have Pfizer on site as well, I believe.
Yeah, Pfizer are one of our major tenants on site, and as you can imagine, we've got a number of science businesses that they're, you know, you can't sort of just go home and operate in a fume cupboard or anything like that. So we've had to stay open. Our teams have been on site throughout the pandemic, our engineering utilities teams, our operations teams, maintaining the facility and ensuring that those scientists and critical businesses have been able to come to site and conduct their work throughout the pandemic.
Mm. And in terms of your sort of wider business, I mean, things like your, you know, conference and event centre, for example, how have you guys, you know, managed to adapt, you know, to the new world of COVID, as it were? Have you gone online, for example, with a lot of those traditional kind of face-to-face events?
Yeah, so like everyone, I think we've had to make changes, we've had to adapt. We've not been able to do any sort of physical networking events on site. So some of our larger events We've seen those go online, go virtual, which has helped us sort of reach a wider audience. We've put together webinar programs like a lot of businesses, and actually we've seen sort of a bigger audience, people from further afield tuning into those, which helped us reach people that ordinarily wouldn't have perhaps attended on-site. So it's been positive in some respects and challenging in others.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I guess ultimately, you know, that the hope would be there that some of those might pick up the phone and say, actually, you know, it might be worth us having a conversation about having a physical presence on site.
Definitely. It's certainly since the turn of the year, the inquiries have really picked up. Mm. I think science inquiries remain quite strong throughout the pandemic as companies of science really came to the fore in the fight against COVID. But since the beginning of the year, we've seen a real uplift in office inquiries as well. So hopefully that shows that there's green shoots for the economy.
Yeah, and I guess it's a very collaborative community, is it? The life sciences community, you know, people kind of feed off each other. It's you know there is a fair amount of sort of working together and kind of, you know, common goals and everything else there.
Definitely. I think open innovation, knowledge exchange, working collaboratively on funding bids, research bids, etc. is a big part of our ecosystem. We promote that. And we've seen a lot of tenants working together, sharing equipment and helping one another to grow and scale their businesses.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, you also have another side to your business as well. You've got, obviously, land that is available. It's quite a large site, so you have land that's available for development opportunities. And I drove past today, and I happened to notice that the Travel Lodge sign was erect, as it were, on the new Travel Lodge there. So is that now open for business as well?
I believe the Travel Lodge, yep, it's been handed over, it's all finished, so construction was moved apace, and I believe bookings can be made the 1st of June, so that's a brand new facility, 75 beds, so I think we're delighted that they're on site. It certainly helps once we get back to physical events on site in terms of our conferencing offer as well, and those overnight stays.
Fantastic. And did I notice some other land being cleared near that site, Chris? Have you got is there another tenant coming on board there? Is there some other building going on there?
Yes. So adjacent to the Travel Lodge development, we currently have a Euro Garages site that's underway, under construction, and we're anticipating that opening Q3, I believe. So that will have a spa, supermarket, petrol station, drive-through coffee facility, and associated retail with it as well.
Wow. Ooh. So people on site will be able to do their shopping on site at lunchtime, as it were.
Sure, they definitely will, and it'll give them more choice in terms of what perhaps they've got at the moment in terms of that retail offer, and we see it as really a complementary mix to our facilities on site and a real added bonus for us.
Fantastic.
Being able to offer that to tenants.
And will that be open to the general public as well? Will we be able to just, as we're driving past, think, oh, I could, you know, could do with a loaf of bread or something, I'll just pop in there?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, it's just off one of our roundabouts, so that will be open to the general public. Mm. I think they've also got EV charging points as well, so I'm sure they'll appear on the network, and yeah, definitely.
Fantastic, good. And the other thing I wanted to mention, you've got a biomass energy plant there as well. Tell us a little bit about that, and does that actually provide the energy for the site now? Are you a sort of a green energy site, as it were?
We are. It does supply our electricity on site, and then also exports back to the grid as well. So I think it's around 27 megawatts of power. So a significant facility that supplies our electricity.
Fantastic. Wow. Brilliant. And we focused on sort of life sciences, obviously, for good reason, but you've also got a huge number of more sort of traditional businesses on site as well. You've got everything from estate agents to recruitment companies. You've got a whole kind of business community in that space as well down at Discovery Park. Tell us a little bit about that and how that dynamic works. I mean, do you facilitate, you know, networking for those tenants, for example, and things like that?
Yeah, so we've got a large ecosystem of office companies on site that help support our science and technology businesses, really, from anything from sort of specialist recruitment businesses to marketing, PR, accountancy providers. We've got links to legal firms as well. So everything that the science and technology community really want, they can access on site through whether it's IT, etc. So it's a really supportive community. They do a lot of business to business with one another. And you know, our ambition is to see those companies scale and to encourage more businesses to locate at site and see that grow.
Yeah, brilliant.
I just think that's absolutely brilliant that that's down there. But also what I've really taken from that is that you've got inquiries for office space. And I think, you know, everybody's thinking out there that we're all going to work from home and nobody's going to go back to the office and nobody wants to see each other anymore face to face. But actually that proves that people still want to go to an office and work from an office environment.
Well, I guess, Chris, you know, for many small businesses or smaller businesses in particular, you know, working remotely, just, you know, reality is it just doesn't work for their business. You know, particularly, you know, professional services firms. I've spoken to lots of those guys recently and they're all saying, look, you know, we need our people back in the office. We can't facilitate learning, you know, from a kind of culture point of view. You know, we need people back in the office. And I guess, you know, that's you're seeing that translated through into inquiries.
I think it's going to be a mix, and I think where we're fortunate is that we've got spaces that suit anything from really one-person startups all the way to multinationals. So we can cater for anything and everything in between. So we have a variety of office uses or sizes that suit all parties. Really, I think we'll see probably a mix, a hybrid of work from home and that flexibility that perhaps some employees like, but also back in the office where people need to engage and collaborate with one another and where a lot of actually businesses is carried out. And I think we will see that mix. And I don't think the office is dead. I think we've certainly seen inquiries jump since the beginning of year as people start to think about the lockdown restriction easing and how they get their businesses back on track.
So if people wanted to inquire about that specifically, I know you've got a great team there. You've got Lauren and Renata who look after the sort of the office leasing side of the business. What's the best way for people to kind of get in touch there and make an inquiry, Chris?
It's probably Lauren's about to go on to maternity leave, probably best that people try and ring either myself or Renata, and they can contact our main number, which is 01304 614 060.
Brilliant. Well, congratulations, Lauren, and I hope that goes well. I know Lauren quite well, so brilliant. Chris, I think what we'll do now is we'll play a little bit of music, and then when we come back, I'd like to focus in on some of the kind of the strategic stuff that's going on down at Discovery Park, because I know there's an awful lot of funding that you've bid for recently. You've also had some grant money, and I'd like to understand, you know, how you're kind of putting that to good use. And we've got a railway station that's being built on your doorstep up as well, so there's an awful lot going on apart from the golf championship, obviously the Open Championship in July as well, so lots to talk about. So bear with us, and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm delighted to say that we've got Chris Broom with us this afternoon, who is the Business Development Manager for Discovery Park. Great to have you with us today, Chris. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Chris, wanted to talk a little bit now, if we can, about some of the kind of strategic pillars that support all of the work that you guys are doing down at Discovery Park. I mean, obviously the day-to-day is very much around, you know, tenants and servicing tenants and attracting new tenants onto the site. But all of that is sort of underpinned, really, I guess, by what you call your kind of strategic pillars. So the first one I wanted to talk about was you guys being an innovation hub. So just tell us what that means from your point of view.
So we were successful probably in July time last year, bidding for money through the Getting Building Fund, and we're envisaging construction of around 50,000 square foot of laboratory space for incubators, early stage companies, which we see as sort of critical to delivering that tenant ecosystem, that innovation ecosystem on site. So we're seeing a lot of interest from early stage businesses, and now we're looking to create that lab space that will hopefully foster those companies and enable them to scale and grow on site.
That's interesting, because I mean, you've got quite a lot of legacy laboratory space. You've got Building 500, for example, down at Discovery Park, which was predominantly laboratory space. So is that not fit for purpose in that context, or are you talking about sort of building new space and maybe hybridizing some of that space?
Yeah, no, we do have a lot of lab space, mm-hmm. Chemistry and biology, and what we're looking at is redeveloping a couple of floors of the building to really tailor it to incubate facilities and really what those companies need. So slightly smaller lab spaces with options for then slightly larger ones, so mm-hmm. to enable those companies almost to come in at their early stages, and then as they raise money and they're successful, then to grow and enable them to scale in line with their funding and their scientific research and targets.
I guess that's been the challenge that you guys have had all along. I mean, you inherited this enormous site from Pfizer where everything, I guess, was pretty much open plan. And what you've had to do is tailor the space according to, you know, individual tenants' needs, who were obviously much smaller.
Definitely. We've gone from obviously the site being earmarked and designed for one occupier, and now having to sort of subdivide and carve that space to enable it to suit a multitude of occupiers. Yeah. And, you know, every company is slightly different. All of their requirements are slightly different, and their needs and services that we need to provide change. And we've got to adapt to that and address that and ensure that we provide those facilities that are fit for purpose and that provide those companies the opportunities to grow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you can always have that conversation. If somebody comes to you, you're quite able to say, well, look, tell us what you need and we'll create it for you, I guess.
Definitely. We're fortunate that we've got a brilliant on-site engineering team and we work very closely with all of our clients. We don't like saying no. We always like to find a solution to the problem. And our engineers on site have really been involved in the site from their Pfizer days, a lot of them. So they work closely with our tenant community, understand the science, and make sure that we deliver the space that they need.
And there's another key pillar that you talk about, which I'm particularly interested in, the digital and artificial intelligence, and kind of, you know, building your expertise in that area. And I guess the one thing, you know, Lynette, that's kind of come out of COVID is just the speed to market that you know, the likes of Pfizer, for example, and AstraZeneca, Moderna, were able to actually bring their vaccines you know, to the marketplace, which has been quite incredible. And I guess, Chris, a lot of that is down to that kind of enhanced, you know, digital and artificial intelligence expertise, which is something that you want to kind of focus on as well.
Exactly. I think computational science is growing, the use of AI and data science, modeling, simulation, all of those things are increasing and enabling people to do, you know, large amounts of data to interrogate those faster and quicker than what they would have done previously. And we've got plans to really focus and capitalize on that. We've got a large bid in at the moment, which we're hoping to hear imminently, which involves several partners, including Pfizer, the local universities, both Kent and Canterbury Christchurch University, LGC, ourselves, looking at a digital design studio, which really is around simulation, high-end computing power, data science to enable that modeling simulation to accelerate that medicines to patient journey.
That's really exciting, isn't it?
I was going to actually, while I was listening to you talking, I was going to ask if you worked with the local universities, because obviously we do have some great universities, plus the new one that's being built down in Canterbury. But you've just answered my question. You are all working together, which is brilliant.
No, they play a key role. So Canterbury Christchurch have got a lab facility on site where their PhD students work and sort of engage with industry on site. And we work really closely with Greenwich and University of Kent on projects. and sort of academic research, but also from a talent perspective as well. And we're passionate believers in schools to science park. Our chairman really believes in that. So talent is really critical to any business, and it's going to be critical to our ambitions to grow. We need to provide the companies that are locating here the right talent. And the University of Kent and Greenwich and Christchurch, we're fortunate in that we work closely with them, as well as East Kent College as well, to make sure that we understand the needs of our businesses, and they make sure that they're providing the right courses that provides the talent for those businesses.
And keeping that talent in Kent, you know, if they've trained in Kent, there's jobs in Kent, there's places to go in Kent, so they get to stay in here, which boosts the Kent economy.
Exactly.
I think that, and that's the key thing that's been missing, isn't it? I think certainly in East Kent, that lack of sort of, highly skilled, jobs and people to fill those jobs locally has obviously been a barrier to companies relocating, I guess, Chris, over the last sort of, couple of decades. But clearly that dynamic is changing now, which is really positive.
Yeah, no, that access, no one wants that sort of brain drain, really. So we've got to make sure that we're providing great opportunities for those graduates, postgraduates, school leavers, apprentices that want to work on site and don't look at opportunities elsewhere.
And it's wonderful to think that, again, a very modest medieval town in East Kent, Sandwich, will be once again the kind of, the focal point of the world, the world kind of business community on that level, certainly on a science level. It's really exciting, isn't it? Very exciting times for you.
Yep.
Fantastic. Now, there's something else that I happened to notice on my drive past today, which was a new railway station that's being built called Manston Parkway. So tell us a little bit about that, Chris. How's that going to benefit you?
So I think Manston or Thanet Parkway has been in the offing or in the plans for a number of years. And obviously we've been very supportive as of Kent County Council and local and regional government. So, clearly having a new station and faster access into London can only be a benefit to us in terms of that connectivity and enabling us to sort of bring for companies to bring talent in or for visitors, etc. So we very much see that journey time into London coming under that hour as being critical for our business and that connectivity, and making sure that we've got that ability for companies to get their staff here, visitors here, and grow.
Yeah, fantastic. And I guess you'll be able to facilitate sort of shuttle buses and things like that ultimately, won't you, too? And from site, I guess, to make life even easier.
Yes, I think it's less than 5 minutes drive to site. So it'll be very, very quick and accessible on new road infrastructure, bypass infrastructure. So, ultimately, anything that improves our connectivity, train times, journey times, is only a good thing for the companies on site and growth.
Brilliant. Well, Chris, look, we're fast running out of time. So if anybody would like to have a conversation with yourself or another member of the team, what's the best way to kind of get in touch and just kind of say, look, this is what my business looks like. This is what I'm kind of thinking. What can you do for me? What's the best kind of vehicle to facilitate that conversation, Chris?
We're more than happy to talk to any business that might be thinking about relocating, whether it's an office business, general office, or a science and technology firm. So we'd encourage them to pick up the phone, have a conversation with us, and we're more than happy to host visits. We've remained open since the pandemic, so we'd be more than happy to hear from anyone, really. So telephone number is 01304 614 060.
Brilliant, fantastic. And your website is discovery-park.co.uk, I believe.
That's correct, and we're soon to be launching a new website, so watch this space hopefully in the next few weeks.
Fantastic, great stuff. Chris, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you with us today. I know you're incredibly busy, and everything you've just talked about has obviously underlined that as well. So we're going to let you get off now and go back to the day job, but thank you so much for joining us, Chris.
You're welcome. Thanks, Martin. Thanks, Lynette.
No, thanks, Chris.
And we'll catch up with you again soon. Thanks, Chris.
Take care. Thanks, and bye.
Bye.
Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for staying with the BizConnect radio show this afternoon with myself, Martin White, and my fabulous co-host in the studio,
Lynette Wood.
Lynette, we've got another a guest on the line. Tell us, who have we got on the phone at the moment?
We've got Terry Botfield on the phone from Terry Botfield Associates and Marsh Networking.
Terry, great to have you with us today.
Yep. Hello, Martin. Hello, Lynette. Good morning. Great to be here.
Thanks for joining us. Terry, just tell us a little bit about who you are, about Botfield Associates, and also about the Marsh Network that you've set up.
Okay, well, Botfield Associates is a business that I set up about 8 years ago, and it's a mentoring business mentoring business. And the tagline for it is that we help businesses to succeed, develop and grow. Target markets, small and medium enterprise businesses, startups in their first or second year probably, and also charities and community interest companies. And our objective is to get those businesses and organisations to develop, sustain themselves first, then develop and grow afterwards.
Brilliant. And we're going to talk a bit more in depth about, you know, what business mentoring actually is in the second part of the interview. So for now, tell us a little bit more about the Marsh Network and the charity work that you're also involved with locally, Terry.
Okay, the way I like to structure my approach to life at the moment, after a real think, which I recommend people to do, by the way, every couple of years, is to, I'll do about a third of my time actually working to generate cash, about a third of my time I volunteer, give back and help, and the other third of the time I play golf very badly, go on a cruise or walk the dogs. So basically that's my sort of mix. And in terms of the giving back stuff, I'm currently the enterprise advisor to the Marsh Academy, which is a large secondary school locally here in New Romney area. I just stepped down as the chair of the board of a charity, quite a large charity, having spent 4 years there pushing the agenda of getting the charity back on its even keel, and it's now ready to really move forward. Also in the past I've done some, I'm on the list for the Prince's Trust and the Kent Foundation, and basically, I'm now starting a new project with a charity tomorrow morning, actually, to help them to review their strategy and to move things forward. And I've just been asked to host the, and this will be voluntary as well, be a host for the FSB East Sussex Networking Group, which runs each every month, and the next one is tomorrow morning. So that's a bit of giving back. Mm-hmm. Is that giving enough profile on giving back there, Martin?
Absolutely fabulous work. And I know you, I mean, one charity you haven't mentioned locally is Calm, and I know that's very closely tied into the Marsh Networking that you run. So tell us a little bit about the Marsh Network and how all of that started and how you've kind of linked with Calm on that.
Okay, well, the Marsh Network started off 3.5, well, nearly 4 years ago now, actually, just after I'd moved down from Ashford to New Romney, and I looked around for networking, and there wasn't any without getting in the car and driving all the way to Folkestone or up to Ashford. So I asked around locally, and they said, networking's been tried down here. It'll never work. Mm. Well, you can't say things like that to me, and I know you can't say it to you either, Martin. So I did 6 months worth of planning, got a few supporters engaged, like certain individuals like yourself and Paul Andrews and people like that. And we launched the group with a coffee morning meeting in a pub, deliberately, in New Romney High Street 3.5 years ago. Rather than going through all the developments of it, 3.5 years ago, well, 3 years ago, it was up to 3 meetings a month, including a breakfast meeting, 2 coffee meetings, one in New Romney and one in Ryan East Sussex, which resulted from taking over another group over there. And then, of course, COVID arrived. Mm. And COVID, of course, we had to decide what to do. So the word from the Kent Business Office pivoted, would you believe? Mm. So we actually changed the view, and we currently run a 2-weekly online meeting via Zoom, which is certainly not totally structured, certainly not no structure. It's somewhere in the middle. It's relaxed. It's fun. It's really professionally based networking. Mm. And within that network, we have things like a 10-minute speaker. We have a business subject we discuss. We generally have a bit of fun as we sort of argue and debate with each other. Mm. It's grown from where it is to, I think the record was about a month ago, we had 42 people at one of our meetings, and it's really usually between 30 and 40. That's slowly slowing down. This is what the point noting. All the networking I've been going to, I don't know about yourselves, Lynette and Martin, basically I've seen the numbers slowly go down a little bit since people, I think, have realised it and go out more.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I've got a full diary myself today of just, you know, visiting businesses that I work with. So you're absolutely right on that level, Terry. But isn't it funny, Lynette, as well, because, in your time at the Ashwin International Hotel, I mean, you've seen networking groups come and go. But I guess, you know, the traditional approach to networking was to, you know, meet for a breakfast or meet after hours, you know, physically in person at a venue like the Ashford International. But now, you know, having been forced to do things a different way, and, you know, this technology having existed previously, but none of us kind of using it, we've got used to doing business a different way. And I was just wondering, from both your points of view, do you see that as the kind of the new norm, or do you think there'll be a kind of a hybrid approach to how businesses prefer to go networking? How does the hotel kind of view that?
I think hybrid is just the way forward. I think, as Terry said, you know, 30 to 40 people, maybe you didn't necessarily have 30 to 40 people in the room at the time, but because people didn't feel the need to obviously get up and leave the house, etc., when it could fit in within their day and didn't include travel, people are more acceptable to sort of travel, to go to those events. And I'd like to think that people still want to see people face to face. You know, people like to see the whites of people's eyes, don't they, when they're talking to them and networking with them. And I don't know if you know, but next week, apparently, you can hug people. So, you know, at those networking events, you can give them a good old hug. But I think that there's going to be both hybrid events is going to be perfect for most networking events, I think. Although I think those people that are now on Zoom won't necessarily feel the buzz of the room as they would have done previously if you're on the internet.
So some face-to-face, Terry, and some virtual. Yeah. Is that how you see it moving forwards?
Yeah, we've had to think about it, because obviously another lady, Alison Gordon, who you've had on the show before, also helps me with the group, and she does the tech background, and we also discuss the strategy. But basically, just a couple of points that I didn't cover about charity. One of the things that a lot of people say to me is we actually support two charities, Calm, which is a charity which supports usually the over 50s or so living in isolation, and that's a big problem in this country, a lot of people living on their own. So we support that charity, and we also support in East Sussex a charity called the Oliver Curd Trust, a small charity, provides holidays for families who've lost young children or lost children or children who have been very ill. So that's the charity, we support those. Okay, so back to the other point about how we're moving forward with networking. I've got a split, and I found that at FSB meetings where people are asking the question, the same kind of question as you did, Martin, about a number of people say they want to get back to face-to-face networking. They miss it because it's part of the social benefit of doing networking, and so that will have to be catered for. A lot of people are saying they actually quite like the Zoom thing because they can get to more locations, they don't have to get in their car, and they're going to places they'd never go before where they're doing it through the net. But taking the point that Lynette made, yes, hybrid, we are going to try and test hybrid, provided we can find venues that enable us to do that with the technology. Mm-hmm. We want to do a test. We're going to carry on with online, as I understand the FSB are, they're going to carry on with online networking. And we're going to reintroduce face-to-face. In our case, we're looking at a venue between Hastings and Rye. We're looking to reintroduce it in New Romney, and looking at another venue in Sandhurst to launch, providing it's safe to do so later in the year. So we're going to have a combination of all three, and we'll test it, and then we'll see which works best for the people who are using it.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're talking about proper hybrid there. You're talking about, you know, people being able to, you know, to access a meeting on Zoom whilst others are actually physically in the room networking face-to-face, as it were. Correct. So that'll be interesting. Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that.
I don't know whether, Lynette, you'll have those kind of facilities within your hotel group.
Absolutely, we do, Across all of our hotels, we have those hybrid facilities. So, and I think that actually in terms of not just networking, but business meetings, and we were talking to Chris Broom earlier, is that people can actually come to those meetings that probably couldn't come to those meetings. Yep. And some businesses will find that that's a massive benefit for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's happening locally. There's I won't mention the company, but quite a large company locally that I know in the hospitality sector, not hotels, but basically their board meetings are sort of split like that now. They have people, they have board members from all over Europe as well as in the UK. And they're doing a board meeting physically based in this area, but also with other people joining them online.
I think that's a really good point as well, because, you know, not all businesses are, work to a local catchment. And, you know, being able to access, you know, other meetings, you know, other conferences, for example, they might be webinars, they might be presentations on things, being able to access that, you know, on a sort of a national basis, I think has really opened a lot of businesses' eyes, if you like, to, you know, the opportunity to do business in another area, which is obviously, you know, fundamental to kind of growing your business, you know, longer term. So I think that's been really useful learning from that point of view as well.
Well, it's true. I mean, my recent new client I've taken is actually based in Oxfordshire.
Wow.
Yeah, fantastic. And they may have seen you on LinkedIn, for example, promoting the Marsh Network and come along to a meeting, and then they've hooked up with you afterwards. So,
yeah, it's a combination of that plus the FSB networking I attended. So it's a bit of both, to be honest, and then the LinkedIn follow-up. And I'd really recommend people to look about integrating how they approach, but the whole area of marketing and digital and integration is a whole new subject. We won't touch on it now.
Yeah.
But, the way you link the things together that make it work.
Yeah, no, really good. Right, well, let's finish on the Marsh Network quickly, because I know you're a bi-weekly meeting. You are on Zoom at the moment. You offer first-time visitors a free place, but then it's only, I think, £5 per meeting, and that £5 goes to Calm, who you mentioned. So how can people get in touch with you, Terry? I know you've got a meeting this Wednesday, for example. What's the best way for...
Let me just run through very quickly. Martin, as you say... it's £5 a meeting pay-as-you-go. About half the money goes to charity. We have no joining or membership fee, so it's pay-as-you-go. We've got no exclusivity. We're based on collaboration, support and fun. And all the meetings are available to book. The next one is this Wednesday on the 12th of May at www.marshnetwork.co.uk. And all the meetings at the end of July are there. And you're right, people just email me, terry@botfield.net, if they want to come along for the first time for a free ticket.
Brilliant. And it's 10:30 till about, sort of, you're normally done by midday, aren't you?
Yeah, we aim to finish by 12. I have to finish by 12, it's only right. I think an hour and a half on Zoom is long enough.
It's quite enough, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Fantastic, good. Terry, we're going to leave it there for the minute, but do stay with us, because when we come back, we're going to talk about business mentoring, and we're going to talk about an initiative, a new peer group, a peer mentoring group that you're also about to launch when we come back. So stay with us, and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you for staying with us for the final part of our Biz Connect radio show today. I'm delighted to say that we've got Terry Botfield on the line from Botfield and Associates and also the Marsh Networking Group. Terry, lovely to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you, Martin. Glad to be here.
Super to have you on the show today. What I'd like to do now, Terry, is just talk a little bit about, you know, your specialist area, if you like, which is business mentoring, because I think it's, you know, the whole idea of, you know, people paying for business advice, whether it's through mentoring, consultancy services, for example, I think it's fair to say it's a much maligned area and talked about subjects. So just in your own words, just explain to us what you think business mentoring is all about and where you add value.
Oh, that's a nice open question, Martin. Thank you for that one. Now, business mentoring, I mean, people all hear a lot about business coaches, and you may notice that I call myself a business mentor, because I actually think there's a bit of a difference. You know, I think working with people on business mentoring is about understanding their needs. It's about understanding where they want to go as a business and as a person, and then getting involved with them to understand those requirements, and then giving them help to get where they want to go. In the simple terms, that's what it is. And I've done the training with the Prince's Trust and the Kent Foundation on business mentoring, and basically it's about a lot more about listening. And so it's a bit like selling, but isn't, because it's about listening very hard to understand where the person wants to go, where the difficulties are, where the opportunities are for them, and working with them to understand all that, map it out, and then support them to get where they want to go through discussion, through listening, through recommendation, guiding. And in the end game, once you've got all the basic plans in place, you'll need to get in place for getting the business to run. It's then about being a bit like a non-exec director. And you can be a sole trader or small business is someone who sits on your shoulder and helps you. And, for example, my existing clients, say the biggest single thing they get from me these days, they've been with me for 3 years, is accountability. When you're running a sole business on your own, a business owner, it gets very lonely. And basically, sometimes you just need someone there to have a discussion with who will support you, understands your business, and helps you to move back in the right direction.
So what I'm hearing then is it's a very personalised, tailored support package and offering, as opposed to perhaps a consultancy service where a consultant would go into a business to deliver something very specific in terms of a project, for example. Yours is much more about, your approach is much more about understanding, you know, the mindset of the business owner, if you like, in terms of, you know, what they're looking for from their business and helping them to understand that, I guess, in the first instance, and then kind of tailoring a package of support around that.
That's really well summarised, Martin. It's precisely that. It's getting a definition of where the business needs to go rather than where the person wants to go, and to make sure everybody understands the business is the enabler. Mm. The business is the enabler for them to get where they want to go and achieve what they want to achieve. Mm. I do also work, as an aside, on projects of the type you've talked about, and in fact I'm starting a specific one, so the charity with specific outcomes. Mm. I do project work, but the mentoring side is very personal. Mm. What I don't use is a set of standard templates. I don't use a set of standard approaches in the sense that you have to do this first and then this second and so on and so forth. Mm. I'll create some templates if I need to. I've got some core ones, obviously, but then I'll create and personalise them. So it is very much a personal service aimed at smaller businesses and charities.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when it comes to the kind of the support that's on offer, from, you know, central or local kind of government and local authority kind of initiatives, I think it's fair to say it's quite patchy, isn't it, in terms of, you know, helping businesses ultimately, you know, get through those first few critical years of trading.
I mean, it is, yes. I mean, I think we tend to forget, if we're not careful, that this country actually depends on a small number of very large businesses and organisations. But most of our business grows from small businesses. Now, what are they? You know more than me, Martin. Probably 5-6 million now, small businesses in the UK.
Yep.
And a number of them contribute to the economy in a very definite way.
Mm.
You know, so basically, yeah, there are some gaps. I mean, if you're starting a new business at the moment, there are lots of organisations, and we both know one or two of them, who are funded to provide the initial 12-week support for a business to start up from scratch.
Mm.
And that's great stuff that they do.
Mm.
But at the point, at the end of that 12 weeks when the funding finishes, the business in the startup phase tends to be somewhat off the end of the cliff.
Mm.
And, you know, there is very little other support available. The business then owner then has to get on with it, basically.
Mm.
You know, unless he wants to go and pay for some support, which actually, if it's a startup with a great business plan and enough funding for the first year, perhaps they should go and talk to a business mentor to help to carry on that initial training and make it work.
Mm-hmm.
But many businesses don't have that kind of cash flow. They maybe started a business from redundancy and so on and so forth. And they've got to get to that point where it's sustainable, which probably takes 9 to 12 months.
Yes.
And once they're there, then you really need some real support around you to make it go forward. And, you know, it isn't there to a large extent. There are some new ideas coming down from government, I understand, but at the moment it isn't there unless you want to go out and pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one option.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think what we should do, and I was putting this to a meeting I was at recently with a local MP, was that basically we should maybe be looking a little bit further down that supply chain, that development chain, and maybe subsidising, as we used to do with something called Train to Gain years ago, businesses in their first few years, and helping them to really consolidate and begin to put a growth plan in place.
Mm.
And taking Lynette's point from earlier on, existing businesses like to refresh and regenerate, and perhaps that's another point where we should actually say, can it be partially subsidised, providing there's growth for the economy and there is a payback for the government and for the UK?
Mm.
I think, yeah, well, I mean, obviously, like we'd said, it's not always about new businesses that need that business mentor, and, you know, there are businesses that may be going for a few years, and especially now, in COVID times, and people have had to pivot their business, as we've talked about, but where are they going? What are they doing now? You know, what is their fresh? And I just absolutely love listening to you, Terry, about the fact that you sit down and personally understand those people, what they want to do and how they want to move forward. It's just brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the point about COVID, Lynette, and you're at the nail on the head, I think, there, it's about reset. And your own business would have taken a very hard look and reset itself and would have taken decisions, and even though it's a large business, you'll take decisions about staffing, about corporate organisation, you'll take, I guess, all sorts of decisions, where your marketing's going next, all those things. And I think even a small business coming out of COVID, the ones that are going to move forward and are moving forward have already done that bit of rethinking and resetting and have thought about how they're going to move forward.
Mm.
But there are a lot that happens, and that's not a criticism, it's just the way it is. And that's where they need help. And, and the way I work, basically, is, yeah, it's that personal service, but also around me, because of the network, I have a lot of people I know as specialists, such as accountants, such as, you know, such as marketing people, And I can always find a bit of support for businesses as well that way, usually, but I get people to give people a friendly half an hour for nothing or something. Mm. So I think it's more about than what I do. It's about what we can do as a group of business owners to help others.
Well, that brings us nicely on to a new initiative, Terry, that you're about to launch, called the Marsh Network Business Circle. So yeah. This is much more of a sort of a peer-to-peer group mentoring scenario. So just tell us a little bit about how this will work.
Yeah, the Marsh Business Circle's emerged. It's not a brand new idea, peer mentoring. It's been around for a very long time, used a lot in universities, as you probably own other sort of forum. Mm. But effectively, it starts from the scenario, the belief that a lot of business, being a business owner, can be quite lonely. Mm-hmm. And getting the right kind of support and someone on that night in the middle of the winter when it's dark and, it's rain coming down and the business ain't doing quite what it ought to do, you think, crikey, what am I going to do next? Mm. And you've got to have a really good support network, which you can develop through networking to help someone to help you. So given that basis, there is an opportunity there for people to get more support and everything else. Well, I'll start the Marsh Business Network Circle as a pilot. It's let me run into the elements of it. Effectively, it has once a month on Zoom, it will be a 1.5-hour meeting for the people in the circle. That will be designed to discuss any opportunities and issues, thoughts, and all the other things that people want, their concerns, and as people build confidence in each other, come along to that circle to seek support on what people should do next, or how to solve a problem, or how to grow. It'll be set on, if we can, on Chatham House rules, mm-hmm. so people shouldn't discuss outside the circle what's discussed in the circle. Mm-hmm. Basically, it will be exclusive, so basically only one business of one type will be able to be in the circle. And a maximum of 15 people. The numbers get too big and this kind of idea doesn't work. Mm. So that's the core of it, and that's the starter. But there'll be lots of things around it. If you could imagine this circle, and then you draw another circle around the outside of that circle, inside the circle are the people in the group, outside. I've assembled a large number of experts, and from, as I said, accountants, solicitors, social media experts, branding design experts, and so on and so on, who are quite prepared to give back and prepared to offer a free 30-minute session to anyone in the circle. Mm-hmm. So the circle members are able to access a free 30-minute specialist session once a month. They also get a quarterly session with me included in the package. Mm-hmm. They also get free networking at the Marsh Network for a certain number of events. Mm-hmm. We have an app on the Marsh Network as well, which is being refreshed at the moment, but that literally will give a platform for people to message, book the events. It'll have a QR code on it and so on. Mm-hmm. We're also going to do an offer on a QR code and an electronic business card for people as a discounted rate for members and so on. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's got a sort of core to it is the peer-to-peer discussion, and surrounding it are the experts and then underpinning things which also help the business.
Fantastic. And there'll be a monthly subscription, presumably, to the group?
Yeah, it's either an annual, the monthly subscription. We're trying to get, the first group will be a founders member group, mm-hmm. and we'll have a founders members logo. Mm-hmm. Anyone that joins the groups in the future can also use the logo and add it to their communication, social media, and that's otherwise. But the normal price of the membership is £39 a month, mm-hmm. and or an annual payment, which is discounted at around 15% if they want to buy annually. Mm-hmm. And for the founders group, the first 15 only, it's 35 quid a month, and basically extra special offers, extra special discounts from these things I've mentioned on top to get the thing rolling, and no price increase for the first 2 years, and basically, rock and roll from there. So that's where we're going to start. We just need 15 different businesses, and I'll say be preempting it on Wednesday.
Right. So when are you actually hoping to go live with this, Terry?
Obviously, it depends on how many people. I will pick mm-hmm. it off with less than 15. I'm aiming to go end of June, early July.
Fantastic. Good. So again, if somebody wants to get in touch with you about that and express an interest, I guess they can either talk to you at the Marsh Network this Wednesday or every other Wednesday, but they can also contact you directly. So just give us a quick refresh of your contact details, Terry.
Yeah. People can talk to me generally if they want to have a one-to-one, talk mm-hmm. about the business circle. I don't mind talking to people on a one-to-one. So just contact me at terry@botfield.net. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to have a quick look first, look at the website, which is www.botfieldassociates.co.uk.
And we've also obviously got marshnetwork.co.uk as well for all the networking events.
Yeah, www.marshnetwork.co.uk for all the networking issues.
Fantastic.
And there you go.
Brilliant. Terry, it's been great to have you with us today. We wish you all the success with your new Marsh Network Business Circle. Sounds like an incredibly exciting initiative. It's certainly much needed within the small business community. No doubt the Marsh Network will continue to go from strength to strength as well. And obviously we look forward to getting back to some face-to-face networking at some point in the near future as well. But for now, Terry, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Martin, and thank you again, Lynette.
Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, Terry. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect. Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world. Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Lynette, I can't believe we've come to the end of another show already.
I know. Just so grateful to be here. And as always, learned so much from our wonderful speakers.
We had a couple of fabulous guests, didn't we? Chris Broom, Business Development Manager at Discovery Park, and Terry Botfield, Botfield Associates, the Marsh Network, and soon to launch a Marsh Peer Networking Group as well. So we wish Terry all the best with that. But there's a buzzword that you think that's kind of come out of today, Lynette. What is that buzzword?
Yeah, just off air, I think the buzzword today is collaboration. Mm. And I think, you know, Terry's there. He wants to collaborate with businesses. He wants to be able to mentor those businesses and help around. And obviously, we were talking about Chris and the community, the science community down at the lab. Mm-hmm. And also in hospitality. I actually did a LinkedIn post last week saying that, you know, I actually feel like we're all in this together. We all want to move forward together. And I think that's just brilliant. And let's all collaborate together to do that.
Yeah. And I think that's another positive that's come out of this whole pandemic, isn't it? People are just more open to having conversations and meeting new people now. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Fabulous. Good. Well, we will be back in 2 weeks' time on the 24th of May with another couple of fabulous guests. But I think for now, Lynette, we need to say goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me. And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect. The show that promotes and connects businesses.